Blog Talk Radio. Saturday night broadcast of the Frontier Beyond Fear. I am your host, Susan Larris and Dan, and I have to say, I am just so delighted and so excited. My heart is beating quickly to be bringing on the air tonight such a wonderful guest, Baptiste Dupop. And Baptiste is the author and the filmmaker, or the co-creator, of a wonderful film that was just released called The Power of the Heart. And this is from the director of The Secret. And Baptiste also wrote the book of the same name, which was also just released. And this is an incredibly powerful film and book, and it is a true honor to have him on the show. I'm just going to tell you a little bit more about him before I bring him on the line. Baptiste's own path is a wonderful journey from the heart that so many of us can relate to, I feel, in the spiritual community. He, and in many communities actually, he graduated from law school. He had a lucrative offer of employment, and we will talk to him about how it just didn't feel quite right. And he then went on to follow his heart and listen and eventually create this wonderful film about following the heart. And his website is up on the show page, thepowerofheheart.com. And I highly encourage you to explore that. We also have a live chat room, which I just launched, those of you who are listening live, and I always welcome questions in the future. And so without further delay, I am just so delighted to bring on the broadcast Baptiste Dupop. Hello, Baptiste. It's so nice to have you here.
Hello, Susan. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I remember that you sent me a message, I think, a few months ago, actually, to be on your show, and now it's all coming together. I'm so excited.
Well, and I'm excited too. In fact, I feel that it is part of my own path of the heart that you would just show up here and that everything just so magically would come together for our show tonight, which it did literally within a minute of the show starting. Everything was in place, and so the universe is so very generous in that way.
It is. I mean, it is, you know, when you are detached, things come. That's how it works. I think, you know, when you are in the flow and you're not attached to the outcome, then miracles happen.
Yes, and that is so very true, because I will share with the audience that I had written to Baptiste, and we had talked, and I had kind of released the interview. I had said, you know, this we'll just do it at the right time, and, you know, there was no attachment to expectation. And I've had just a beautiful week, it seems. It seems it's been a week of just things flowing. And here you are. And it's exactly the message of your book. And tell us, Baptiste, tell us about the heart. You know, there is so much more to the heart than we realize. Just after watching that movie last week, I am astonished at how much you have revealed about the heart.
Well, I started my research on the heart 5 years ago, and I realized that if you look at all spiritual traditions and all religions, that the heart has been described as a source of wisdom and intelligence. And of course, I couldn't interview Jesus and the Buddha and Lao Tzu anymore, so I was looking for people in our time who speak about the heart as a source of wisdom and intelligence. And then I remember that I read The Alchemist from Paulo Coelho for the first time. And The Alchemist is about a shepherd boy who, you know, learns to follow the intuition of his heart. And I remember Dr. Maya Angelou speaking on the inauguration of Bill Clinton, the first inauguration of Bill Clinton. She was reciting a poem. And there she was also speaking about the heart. And I remember the books of Deepak Chopra, for instance, the book Fire in the Heart. So I was really looking for people who are talking about the heart as a source of intelligence and wisdom that we can rely on. And I'm also a very, you know, practical guy. So I thought, you know, if if the heart is really a source of wisdom and intelligence, then I would like to see that spelled out. I just would like to hear that, like, yes, it is a reliable source of wisdom and intelligence and power that we can rely on and that we can trust. And I also wanted to know, okay, if that's true, how can we use that in our daily practical lives? How can we use that to improve our health situation? How can we use it to improve our financial situation? How can we use that to improve our relationships? And how can we use that to you know, to find the career that we really want? And you know, I really think, you know, why learn it if you can't apply it? So I think with the movie and also with the book, we've made a very practical, accessible guide to start living and working from the heart.
Yes. Something I appreciate, Baptiste, about this message is that it seems sometimes in the spiritual community we can get a little distanced, even in the spiritual community, from the heart. We get very focused on things like the power of intention, which of course all of us have talked about. And yet sometimes I've run into so many people, and myself included, where we encounter challenges along the way. And then you feel like, gosh, you know, what am I doing wrong? And I feel like your film really helps people understand, when you encounter a challenge, what is that doing in the heart? And what does it really mean? And I wonder if you could speak to that, because it's such a powerful message that I feel is brought forth.
Yes, well, Mark Nepo, who is, I think, one of the stars in the movie, and you've seen the movie, he says it beautifully. He says, you know, before I had my cancer, I believed in the heart, but I was living it from the head. So he believed in the heart, and then we can all see and feel that Mark Nepo always has been a very spiritual being. But, you know, it took for him almost dying to make the journey from the head to the heart. And he's talking about wholeheartedness. So he always believed in the heart, but he was living it from his mind. And his journey, you know, his brain tumors, I mean, the crisis really that he had to go through really brought him into the heart. And I think what I noticed from all the interviews I did with all those wonderful people is that they all tried to live the conventional way first, the way they were brought up, the way they were educated. They all wanted to fit in a way and try to live, you know, the conventional way. And then all of a sudden, there's a big crisis. They hit rock bottom, for instance. Eckhart Tolle was suicidal and Mark Nepo had his brain tumor. They all are in a deep, deep, deep crisis. And then the conventional skills don't work anymore. They can't help them in this crisis situation. And then they are forced to dig deeper. Then they are forced to really go to the heart. And so it's never a choice in the, you know, in the beginning. It's really always a crisis situation that that helps them to come into their hearts, and then purpose finds them. That's what I've learned, yes.
You know, there's a quote from the film I jotted down from Mark Nepo, and he said, "If the heart is so powerful, why is it so easily broken? That's how the heart grows." And I felt that was so powerful to know that we are developing our hearts. We are growing our hearts. It's part of our journey.
Yes, I mean it's like a match, you know, that it holds fire. You know, it needs the rubbing for the fire to come out. And it's that resistance, that crisis, that we never want it, but once it happens, our full potential comes out. And it's also so, you know, with the heart, you know, if we want to train our muscles, we first need the resistance in order to grow bigger muscles. And it's with the heart too, you know. Every time a crisis comes, you say, "Oh, no, 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 no." But the heart says, "Give me more, give me more, give me more." That's how Mark Nepo explains it, give me more.
Yeah.
Because it knows it's growing at that time. And that's really difficult from the mind's perspective. We always say, "No, I don't want it." But the heart says, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." And I think a good way of explaining it is this. If you are on a boat on a river, then your mind can only see a very limited perspective. Your mind can only see the next bend, the next turn on the river. But your heart can see the whole journey from source to sea. And it has a much higher perspective. But of course, when we are on the boat on the river, we just want to stay on the river, and we only see the next turn, and then we were very careful. But the heart says, "Oh, I know how, you know, where it will end, and I know where it began." And our biggest challenge is to learn to trust that and to experiment with it, so that we really learn how to rely on it and how to live and work from that place.
Yes. Yes, I appreciate your use of the word trust, because it seems like that is just so very important. And, you know, sometimes, what do you say when, you know, we feel like we do doubt sometimes, or we lose faith sometimes? And maybe you can speak even to some of your own journey as how do we navigate through those times when we feel so very human, which is what we are, certainly, and experience the depth of our emotions?
I ask this question, all the interviewees, I ask them this question, you know, when times get tough and when things are really challenging, what do we do? And they all said, you know, when you are in such a situation, you have to go inside, because there's nothing else you can do, because you don't have a grip on the outside world anymore. And the outside world is always a reflection of your inner world. So if things really get rocky and tough, then you really, really need to go inside. And I asked him, how do we do that? And they all give different answers. Isabel Allende said, you know, she was in a situation where her daughter was in a coma for a year because of malpractice and negligence in the hospital. This happened 20 years ago, and she could have sued the hospital, and she could blame all the doctors who made those terrible mistakes. But she's decided to write, to free herself from all the anger that she felt. And so writing was her way to deal with the situation. So she went to her office and she started writing. And writing is her way of connecting with the heart. And Jane Goodall said, you know, I have to go in nature every time again. And I've been fortunate enough to be in nature for so many months and months and months and months and months. And that's my way of connecting with the heart. And Eckhart says, you know, you have to connect with the present moment. And we all, you know the book The Power of Now, but that's for him, that is his way to connect with the heart. And Maya Angelou said, you know, if you don't know what to do, sit still, do nothing. Don't waste your time with trivia, but, you know, do nothing and just And we all have a different blueprint, so we all have to see what really works for us. If someone is in a crisis situation and I say, oh, you should do transcendental meditation, and it doesn't resonate with that person, it's not very helpful. You know, so you really should say, okay, what helps you to find that feeling of alignment? What helps you to open your heart? And maybe it is just a walk on the beach if you live near a beach, you know, and it's, you know, just being barefoot in nature for 1 or 2 hours can really shift your energy and open your heart and show you the bigger picture and the higher perspective. And what I've learned is that there's no one way to connect with the heart. It all depends on your specific blueprint, and this book offers many ways to connect with the heart, and you have to figure out what resonates with you and what works for you. And that's why it's so good that I've interviewed so many different people. They're different. They're from, you know, South America, the U.S., Europe, and they all have different ways of connecting with the heart, and it's our job to figure out what works for us.
Yes, it's almost somewhat holographic in a way, because it seems that by following the heart, we discover the very practice that allows us to follow the heart even more.
And
I can so relate to this. This has come up on the show a number of times where, you know, some of us didn't naturally fall into meditating, for example. You know, you're always told to meditate. And, you know, I personally went through an experience where my heart was essentially breaking open, and I discovered walking in nature. In fact, I walked every single day. At first, I didn't think I could do this. I mean, a lot. I walked a lot, and now I still do this. I mean, it's an essential part of my life, and that's my meditation. That works for me. And so,
exactly,
I appreciate that so much that our hearts tell us what it is that's going to work for each individual.
Exactly. And in the end, it is what Mark Nepo says. He says, you know, in every moment, ask yourself, where is the aliveness now? Ultimately, it's following that what gives you joy. It's following that what makes you come alive. And the center of those feelings is the heart. And, you know, there are people, you know, who don't like to meditate because it doesn't resonate with them. And there are other people saying, oh, they're, you know, miserable because they don't meditate. It's just not, you know, frequency specific with their way of connecting with the heart. And it doesn't make them come alive. So please don't do it, you know. I mean, you can feel it if it's something for you. And people are always drawn to that thing that really is helpful and supportive for them, and that helps them to connect with their heart. You know it on an intuitive level.
Yes, and you know, it's funny because our heart will guide us. I realized after a while that nature itself was teaching me to meditate, because I would go on these walks and then I would stop in the most beautiful parts of the forest, and what was I doing? I found that I was meditating. And so it came full circle for me. It's just that I needed some help from the universe, and that's exactly what was provided.
Yes, and I believe that walking in nature is also a very powerful meditation.
Yes, both. I totally agree with you. Now, I will say that there was a part in your film where I honestly, and this doesn't always happen for me, I broke into tears. And it was the part regarding forgiveness in a very challenging genocide situation, which was described. And there was something about, I mean, it is an incredibly, incredibly powerful story that you convey. And I wonder if you could speak to that story a little bit, because it's an intensely powerful part of your film.
it's a really powerful story, and it's, I mean, Marianne Williamson introduces the story by saying, whenever I have a difficult time forgiving, I think about Immaculée Ilibagiza. And Immaculée Ilibagiza was a woman who lived through the genocide 20 years ago in Rwanda. And she said about this, you know, I it's bad enough, she said, if you hate one person, but I hated 8 million people.
Yeah.
And she was so angry because they were killing her family, they were trying to kill her. And she was in the middle of the genocide, locked up in the bathroom for 3 months. And she was not only attacked from the outside by the killers, but she was also attacked from the inside by her own anger. And her anger, she couldn't bear it anymore. And she was, you know, praying for ways to get rid of it because she felt it was killing her from the inside out. And you know, eventually she learns to forgive, and you see in the movie how she does that, how she forgives the killers, the people who are trying to kill her, and how she also forgives the person who killed her family. And it's such a powerful story because it stretches our definition of forgiveness. It's exactly what Marianne Williamson says. She says, every time I have a hard time forgiving, I think about her. And I noticed that, you know, we did a lot of screenings in Europe already, that after the screenings, people came up to me and they said, oh, thank you so much for that story of Immaculée, because I forgave so-and-so, and I couldn't forgive this person for 20 years, but this story helped me to forgive so-and-so. And it is because if Immaculée is able to forgive this, then I certainly must be able to forgive so-and-so for, you know, taking my money, or so-and-so for not for cheating on me or for lying to me. And I think that it is good to hear such stories, because stories are data with soul, and our soul opens up and our soul really feels the story, and then we start to do inner work. And I think that's exactly what's happening, and that's also the reason why you were crying, because it's resonating with you on such a deep level, because you feel it's a deep truth being revealed right there in that story. And it shows us what we're capable of as human beings. It shows us that, you know, it, in a way, it stops, you know, what she's really saying is it stops right here. She's not, although they're trying to kill her and they're killing her family, she says, it stops right here. I'm not going to live in hate and anger anymore. I can do better than that. And she really has this insight when she watches Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela on those tiles, because she realizes that they have been through a lot of pain, hate, and suffering themselves, and still they chose to live from the heart. They chose to live from love instead of hate. And then she, you know, she realizes we have a choice. And she said, I think Mandela and Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa were so powerful and so persistent because they believed people can change. And she couldn't believe that anymore, that people can change. But she says that's the reason why they chose to be in the world they were, and why they were preaching love and forgiveness and the heart, because they were convinced of the fact that people can change. And of course, preaching can be a tricky word, but they were just, you know, trying to live from that message, that people can change, and that we are all have the capacity to change, and we all have the capacity to forgive, and we all have the capacity to live through those things without the toxicity of the anger and the hate.
Yes. There are so many powerful things in Immaculée's story. In a way, as you were speaking just now, I was reflecting how here, these way showers who truly walked the walk, they weren't just preaching. I mean, the way showers that inspired her in her time of need. Then, what did it do, Baptiste? Now she's a way shower. It's as if they passed the torch to her so that she could then live her life in a way. I mean, it has so much to say. This show that you're on right now is about fear. And it had so much to say about how she worked with her fears. And I'll tell you the part that really got me, the reason I was moved to tears, it was her gratitude. It was her gratitude after losing everybody. She was talking about all the people she had lost. Her story has an element that we so often have in our stories where, what if we had done this? Because apparently they had some warning and maybe her family could have been saved. And she didn't focus on that. She found gratitude. And that's what got to me most of all, it seems. That and the forgiveness, I mean, the whole thing has so many aspects. Could you speak to gratitude, Baptiste? Because that's so important.
Yeah, well, the wonderful thing is when she comes out, yes, her whole family is just, you know, murdered. She doesn't have a family anymore. Everything is lost. Her friends are gone. And still she comes out and she wants to care and she's grateful that she's alive. And she's grateful for the wind because she realizes that she hasn't felt the wind for 3 months in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And she's grateful for the moon. And she said, when was I ever grateful for the moon? I can watch the moon and I don't even have to pay for it. And she was grateful for the trees. I mean, she didn't see trees for 3 months. She didn't. And you know, when we see that and when we feel that gratitude, we realize that we take everything for granted. I mean, most of us here in the U.S., in Europe, we didn't live through a genocide.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and there is so much that we do have. There's so much to be grateful for, and gratitude opens up, us up and, you know, connects us with our soul and with our intuition. And on a deep, deep level, we realize that everything is already there. And we're also, you know, from our mind, we always think, oh, we want more, and it's not complete, and it's not there. But gratitude really restores our wholeheartedness and makes us see from a very balanced perspective. I mean, she could have been very angry and said, and she could have said, my family is murdered, all my friends are murdered, I don't have anyone anymore, and could have been, but because of the gratitude, she sees a balance, and it is very, very, very exceptional what she did. But it also shows us what we are capable of, to see the gratitude and the wholeness, and it, for us, it's a really, really powerful story, because she really came out completely transformed, and now she's a beacon of light in the world. She's speaking everywhere. She's traveling everywhere. When I called her, she now lives in Manhattan, and when we approached her for this project, you know, she said, "Oh my God, no! I wanted to do this. I want to do this." This was, I mean, just in one moment, she decided to be in this project. She said, "Maya Angelou is on this, and all my favorite teachers are in this," and she just wanted to do this, and she wanted to share her story. And I think we really can learn from this story. This, for me, is also a story that really has transformed my life and really helped me to see things from a different perspective. I mean, we are already living in such a beautiful world, but we're not focusing on it. You know, we're focusing on different things. And, you know, if you watch cable television every day, then you become miserable, because there's nothing we really want to see, and you think about war, and you think about lack, and you think about, if you keep focusing on those things, well, the world is never going to change. We should focus on what's already there, our soul, our wholeness, our intuitive intelligence, and we should work from that place, and then we can transform the world and heal the world.
Yes, I think what really reached me, just as people came up to you and said, if she can forgive, I can forgive, I felt like, wow, if someone could be thankful for things, could see the things to be thankful for in that extreme of a situation after losing everyone, you know, and she was thankful for the smallest things, as you say, then we can always find something to be thankful for, no matter what our situations are. And, you know, face it, Baptiste, you say, you know, you watch cable news. I mean, right now as we speak, if I were to turn on cable TV, it could be terrifying. You know, if you allow it to be with this, you know, the Ebola crisis is very big news here in the U.S., how it's spreading. And I think one of the things it's doing is giving us all compassion for other parts of the world where this has been a very serious problem, and we're starting to see it. You know, sometimes you have to come face to face with that and realize and reach out in empathy to the world. And so, but still, the fear could be very palpable right now. And now is the time when we need our hearts, you know, when there's, you know, war in the world that seems to be escalating and so many things that we could get concerned about. You know, where do we find our hearts in the midst of this? How do we choose to live as each individual that we are? How do we choose?
Yes, and I think that Immaculate really shows us that the way to deal with this is not to be paralyzed by fear. I mean, fear is a very strong emotion. I mean, Isabel Allende says in the movie, fear is one of the strongest emotions in the world. But, you know, if you want to be a beacon of light, and if you want to change the world, and if you want to help other people to go through, you know, the current situation, then, you know, you're more powerful when you're in love, you know, aligned with love.
Yeah.
And you're a bigger inspiration when you're connected with your heart, and people will listen to you and follow you, and then you can, you know, lead people through the situation. And it's much harder to do when you're fearful. And I think, you know, it's with the, you know, when you're on a plane, and when the oxygen masks come out, you first have to give yourself oxygen, because otherwise you cannot really help someone else, you know. And I think it's also like that with the heart. You know, we first have to be the change we want to see in the world before we can help anyone else. And I think Immaculate is really showing that. She is going through an inner transformation. And then, you know, look at what she's doing now. I mean, it's incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's also another thing that's also one of the reasons why it really touches you is there's a saying in the Torah, words that come from the heart touch the heart. And her story is really coming from the heart, and it touches your heart, and then it makes an impact. Then it has an impact. Then it leaves a trail. And if this would just have been a mind story, then there would have been no impact.
Yes, yes, yes. And I love how your own journey, and maybe now is a good time to talk about that just a little bit, because a lot of the people that you interview, they are living authentic lives. I mean, I feel that authenticity is such an important aspect of following the heart. And, you know, I'm also enjoying your book. And I told you before the interview that I read your book every night before I go to bed. I read just a little bit more, and I looked, and I'm to 80% because we had this interview scheduled so fast. And, you know, I could have rushed to finish the last 20%. And I said, no, you know, I'm just going to keep flowing with it. And your book, in that, you do talk about your journey, and you kind of tie so many of these things together, and there are a lot of other experts in there as well. It has a number of experts and quotes and beautiful, beautiful imagery. There's just so much to the book as well. So, and the book starts with your journey. So I wonder if we could go back and explore who you are and how did this all come to be? And, you know, most people would say, Baptiste, that's impossible. How in the world could you do this? How are you going to get all those people to be interviewed? How are you going to make a film? And you know, that's a part of it, too, you know, the voices of doubt. So talk about your journey a little bit, Baptiste.
That's, you know, it all began on the day that I got a very lucrative offer, an employment contract from one of the world's most prestigious law firms. And I was only a signature away from a career, and yet I didn't want to sign.
Yeah.
And I really started thinking, what do I really want from life? What was my goal? And, you know, I spent months looking for a job that really suited me. But, you know, the prospect of just being in a law firm and just, you know, just do that for the rest of my life was really not, you know, I just didn't feel right. And I felt I'd lost my way, and I was really worried about my future. And I thought, you know, what am I going to do? And very late one night, I couldn't sleep, and I was staring into the darkness. And I decided to get up and watch some YouTube videos on my laptop. And I clicked onto a web class with Oprah Winfrey and Eckhart Tolle. And it was called A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose.
Yeah.
And Oprah said something that really changed my life. And she said, I don't think anything is more important than awakening to what your life's purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me wonder, you know, was this what I was going through? Was I trying to wake up to my life's purpose? And the moment I had that thought, I really felt a very powerful impulse from my heart. And it looked like my heart was, you know, talking to me and responding to my inner question. And it was like my heart was saying, okay, listen to me. And right there you have the aliveness that Mark Nepo is talking about.
Yeah.
And then Eckhart said, it's fine to ask yourself what you want from life, but a far more important question is, what does life want from you? You know, what does life want from me? And what does life have in store for you? And then Eckhart said, you know, to find out, he said, it's important to allow moments of silence into your life, because silence can let you escape the mental noise that we call thinking. And the next morning, I decided to follow Tolle's advice and seek out silence. And I went for a long walk in the park and then in the woods in the pouring rain. And as I turned into the quiet around me, I felt an intense sense of calm. And this calmness was in me. And I really felt a very powerful, overwhelming sense of love and clarity. And I never felt it, and I was crying because it was so powerful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I silently asked, what does life want from me? And I felt another very powerful impulse coming from my heart. And my heart was really saying to me, you have to make a movie about the heart. And the wave of emotion was so strong that, you know, I couldn't resist. It was just crystal clear to me. And I realized, okay, I have to explore this power of the heart. And that's how it started. But okay, my mind was saying, you're crazy.
Uh-huh.
You don't know anything about film production. You don't know anything about the heart. And so my mind would never have given me this directive. Because, I had no background in filmmaking, and I was not an expert on the heart. And because it was so powerful, I just didn't, I just felt this feels like coming home. This is so overwhelming. And it gave me no choice then to actually pursue this calling to make a movie about the heart. And that's how it started.
Yes, and I think for many of us, we're feeling that this is just the beginning for you, too, because those of us who now have your book and the movie, we think, my goodness, what is Baptiste going to do next? Because, I mean, I think you have a lot to give to the world, and we're appreciative of that. You know, there's a part of your journey, Baptiste, that you just mentioned, that it's a pivotal moment. And many of us face this. And I felt that this came out in the story of a couple of people in your film as well. It is that moment when the contract is in front of you, or you're in a job and you just know this really isn't working for you. I mean, you know it deep down. You know, I was a computer scientist. I was really doing very well in my career, making lots of money. That's another part of the film, you know, just making money. There are lots of careers where you can make lots of money, but you really bring out how that truly doesn't bring happiness, and that's said so often. But, you know, again, back to this core question, I'll ask too many, is that pivotal moment. There are people out there right now who may be facing this, where you make that choice. I mean, it's a very courageous choice to maybe not go with convention. You have the editor of Happiness Magazine in your film who makes a choice, and she evaluates, you know, oh, well, I might lose my house, or, you know, and works through that. So I wonder, you know, if we could explore that moment, because that is the very moment that is keeping a lot of people from following their heart, whether they sign on the line or do the thing that doesn't feel right or have the courage just to move into something totally unfamiliar yet feels right.
Well, the woman who started the Happiness Magazine, she looks fear straight in the eyes.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with fear, but it's not good to be paralyzed by it.
Yes.
And she challenges her fighting part to really look at the worst-case situation.
Yes.
And if you do that, then, you know, it helps you to see, okay, this is the worst that can happen. You know, could I live with that? And then she says, yeah, I mean, if the magazine is not a success, could I live in that smaller house, in that rental home? And she says, yes. And the moment she does that, she says, okay, you know, whatever happens, I'll be okay. And
yeah.
And in that way, she challenges her frightened part. She challenges her fear, and she's able to be in her power and to create this wonderful magazine, which is one of the biggest magazines in Europe right now. It's big in Germany and
yeah.
in so many other countries.
Yeah.
And it was coming straight from the heart. And the challenge
yeah.
is oftentimes, and I had it too. You know, you have this idea, and there's coming a very powerful impulse from your heart. But then the next morning, you wake up again, and your mind says, "Oh no, we're not going to do this. You know, this is so frightening." And
yeah.
then you have to make the conscious choice to go to your heart and to stay aligned with love, because
yeah.
you know, when you're there, when you're in that vortex, when you're in that, you know, when you're connected to Source, it all seems so easy. But somehow we get out of it, and our challenge is to go back. Because otherwise we will not be able to fulfill our purpose.
Yes. Yes. It seems that the mind surely attempts to battle the heart, and yet it seems like, you know, it really, do you feel, Baptiste, that we're moving into a time where, you know, we really are becoming people of the heart, as if the universe is jump-starting all of our hearts? You know, I think that even through things like that New Earth webcast, you would be surprised. That was pivotal for me, too. I know of other people that was a very important part of their awakening. And it's amazing, just something like that, how many lives it touched. I immediately noticed that in your story and thought, wow, here's another person who was changed by that in a magical way. And so I guess my question now is, in terms of, you know, the transformation of this planet and where we seem to be heading, it just seems like we're all getting jump starts. That's what it feels like. Like we're just, you know, the universe, through various way showers, are bringing us awake. And I am very thankful for that.
Yes, and I feel it's also, I think, human evolution.
Yes.
I think I always had this feeling that I was not tapping into my full potential. I was like,
yes.
there's something that they're not telling me. I mean, is this a hoax? You know, when I was at high school and later at college and university, I really thought, is this a hoax? It's like, well, I felt like I was in the Matrix. Like they didn't show me the whole picture. And I was
yeah.
not tapping into my full potential and power. And I love what Paulo Coelho said. He said, you will never, ever reach your full potential if you don't open your heart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really feel that life, when you live from the heart, when you live from your authentic power, because that's what living from the heart is, you are connected to your core, you are connected to your essence, then you start living from the intentions of your soul. And what happens when you live from the intentions of your soul, then your intuition starts working for you at 100%.
Yes.
Because your soul says, okay, now I'm going to give you full access to my powers. Because you are fulfilling your purpose, you're fulfilling your destiny. And you know, if you would just use it for other things, then you don't have full access to your intuition. So if you are really living from the intentions of your soul, then you get full access to your intuition. And once you are aligned with your soul and intuition, then the synchronicities happen. And then you meet the right people at the right time. And then you have the supporting elements. And then you have everything you need in order to fulfill your life's mission.
Yes.
And so there's a big link between intention, intuition, synchronicity. And it all starts with the intention. And I had a lot of conversations about this with Drew Harriet, who directed The Secret back in 2006. And I think the difference between The Power of the Heart and The Secret is that in The Secret they teach you how to create your reality, but they're not going deeper. They're not asking,
yeah,
you know, if you want that woman or if you want that money or if you want that that career or whatever you want, why do you want it? And
yeah,
not only why do you want it, where is this intention coming from?
Yeah.
And I love what Jim Carrey said. You know, Jim Carrey, the actor, who is a big fan of Eckhart. He said
he's very inspirational. Yes.
Yes, extremely inspirational. And Jim Carrey said, "I wish everyone could become rich and famous."
Oh,
and
yeah.
No, it's not the answer.
Yeah.
And
so true.
I think we should all, you know, before money or before wealth or status, we should see, really take a look inside and see, okay, why am I here? What is the intention of my soul? Because your soul has got a different agenda. Your soul is not so interested in a lot of stuff and a lot of material things. Your soul realizes that they are sometimes necessary in order to fulfill a certain purpose, but it's never the end result. And Eckhart Tolle says it beautifully in the book: know that if your only aim is to make money, know that you're completely disconnected from your heart.
Yes. Yes. So true. You know, you talk of a synchronicity in your book about, you know, when you kind of, you needed a little extra help. And I wonder if you could speak to that some more and just what your experience of synchronicity is now, because many of these way showers and many of us are seeing, you know, more and more. It's like you live in a completely different world. It's a magical world. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your own experience of a synchronicity.
Yes, yes. One of my favorite authors is Roald Dahl. He wrote a lot of great children's books. And he said, if you don't believe in magic, you will never find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if you really start living from your heart, then and you do that consistently, then, you know, eventually you'll experience a lot of things your mind would label as magical. And
yes.
I love magic, and we're all drawn to it. That's why Harry Potter was such a success, because we all know on a deeper level that's the heart speaking to us when we experience magic. And magic and synchronicity are, you know, the same experiences, really. And we love magic, and
yes,
the children love it. And it is because we know it is our birthright. And when life is not magical, when we are living as robots or zombies, and
yeah,
and we are cut off from our source to aliveness, then life is very dull, very gray, and we don't feel alive, and we're just, you know, robots, zombies doing our things. And it's what Paulo Coelho says. You know, I know people, they walk, they talk, they work hard sometimes, but somehow this spark is lost, and we are really looking for the connection with this spark, and this spark can give us an amazing, magical, fulfilling life.
Yes.
And then things happen that we cannot explain logically anymore, and that's because our heart doesn't work from a linear perspective. Our heart works from a whole perspective, and it's not linear, and you can't explain anymore why things happen. You say, this is impossible, and still they happen. If you work from the heart, you are also able to make a leap in your reality. And I mean by that that things happen that you know other people would say, this is impossible, but your heart doesn't really care if it's impossible from the mind perspective. Your heart says, okay, you want this, okay, and now we're going to make a quantum leap in your reality. And, you know, it's you know, we are changing our reality. We are shifting our reality. We are shifting our limitations when we are live from the heart. We are stretching our concepts, and I think that's the magic and of living from the heart.
Yes, yes. I would compare. It seems like it's almost like living as we did when we were children, where everything in the world was so astonishing. I mean, just discovering, it's like these things occur and it's just, wow, that's really cool. I mean, it just, you live that way because you were trained when you, I mean, we wanted to believe in magic as children. I mean, I certainly did. And yet to actually live in a magical world where things just happen, I mean, it's just incredible. It's actually fun. I mean, I guess that's another way. I mean, it's a true joy to live in such a place, in such a world, in such a way.
Yes, and it's in the movie. I mean, you talk about children. In the movie, there is, you know, I think Paulo Coelho sets it up. He says, to live from the heart, become like a child.
Yes, that's it.
And then there's this trampoline scene with the billionaire, right?
Who
doesn't want to be
on
the trampoline. Yeah, and then, you know, he's almost forced on the trampoline by our Greek friend, Paul F. Morfidis. But then his heart opens, and he's a child again. And then you have the experience of being Alice in Wonderland, and then you see, oh, it's magical. And Mark Nepo also explains it beautifully. He says, you know, there's a difference between being childish and childlike, because childlike really restores our wholeheartedness and restores our vision of the world as a magical place. And it is a magical place, only we got so disconnected that we don't see it anymore. This is a place of love. This is paradise, and it can be paradise, but we decide to create it or not. We decide to live from the heart or not. And once we know, you know, that the heart is really the source of life, of existence. And I think that, you know, it is such a powerful movie because it opens us up. I think that's what's happening, because we all recognize it. And Eckhart Tolle says, you know, the power of the heart is to be connected with who you are at the deepest level. The power of the heart is the power of life itself, the power of the very intelligence that pervades and underlies the entire universe. And so if we live in connectedness with that, then we are in touch with our full potential, and then life becomes magical. And, you know, through your heart, you find your way in the world, and you find that everything is basically in connection with the higher order of logic and understanding, and that higher order of logic and understanding originates in our hearts, and it's only experienced in our hearts, and through our hearts we will find the inspiration and the magic.
Yes, 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 so true. And you know, that word alive, I feel, captures it just so beautifully. And And I know our time is already winding down. This has been such a spontaneous time of conversation. I commented before that, you know, it happened so fast. You know, you just kind of, I said it would just be a spontaneous talk. But, you know, I have to tell you, there are things that you're reminding me of, even in the movie. There's just so much in the movie and in the book, too. I mean, both together are very powerful tools. Together, they can really help so many people. And, you know, as we enter into the last five or so minutes here, I first of all want to just say from my heart, just the deepest and most expansive of thank yous to you for what you've accomplished, what by following your own heart, by bringing this to us. And then just also that you're here tonight, because I've just so appreciated this conversation. And I just want to say thank you from my heart to yours.
Thank you so much for asking me. And it felt like 5 minutes. I can't believe that it's already an hour. It's really, really strange. I mean, you must have certain magical powers, you know, if you can make an hour into 5 minutes. Yeah.
Well, my show is my heart, too. You know, I mean, I feel like it's everyone who comes here, we're all in the heart space. And, you know, not just my heart, it's our hearts together. And in so many other ways, so many beautiful things that people, how they're coming together. And yes, it does. It just, it's like we transcend linear time here. It feels that way.
And it feels good. I mean, you can feel it when your heart is open. You know, you just feel the expansion. And your heart feels very, very light and sometimes fluttery. And it's just a wonderful feeling. And then you feel complete. You feel whole. Nothing is lacking. It's just perfect.
Yes. Yes. It truly does feel wonderful. And you know, I know that there are people in the chat room right now who are inspired by our conversation, who are saying that. Another radio host said, I love that book. They're talking about, you know, just how powerful of a time this has been for them, too. So I want to thank the people in the chat room for being here with us, too. And one last note, I want to make sure people do know where to find the book and the movie. And so I'll allow you to let people know and where you're going to be, Baptiste. Tell people where you are right now and where you'll be speaking.
Well, I'm now actually in Los Angeles, and I'll be here until the end of the month. And I'll be in the Agape Church on October 25.
Wonderful.
I'll join Michael Beckwith with Reverend Michael Beckwith with a few of his services on October 25, and I'll be in Santa Barbara on October 28 for the Santa Barbara Film Festival. We're going to do a screening of the Power of the Heart. And so I'll actually be in LA until the end of this month to do a lot of interviews and to promote the Power of the Heart. And if people want to order the book, order the movie, then they just have to go to the website, thepowerofteheart.com. It's thepowerofteheart.com, and there they can order the movie and the book.
Yes, yes. And I have put the link on the website for the show, too, so that anyone listening, you can click on that. And I highly encourage you to get both the book and the movie. They both have wonderful things to give to us all. So once again,
Baptiste,
I wish you
the
best. Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, it was my pleasure, Suzanne, and I'm just so happy that we finally got to do this. I'm just happy and grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you, and it's been wonderful. So you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I just hope you have a wonderful time here in the rest of your stay in the U.S. and in your travels worldwide. And I know we can't wait to see we can wait because we're patient, but we're looking forward to seeing what you create next, because I think it will be exciting.
I will let you know as soon as I know what I'm going to do next, because I have no idea. Okay.
Your
Thank
heart
you so much.
Will tell you. Thank you
yes,
so
it
much,
will.
Too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Well, what a wonderful spontaneous show tonight. My heart is just feeling so expanded. I want to tell people before the live feed goes down, we do have another show coming up Monday, October 20th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Sarah Chetkin, who wrote The Healing Curve about her healing journey, she'll be on the show on Monday. And I invite people, if you want to learn more about this show and all the, we've had a number of very inspiring guests, frontierbeyondfear.com is the place to go. And this show will be highlighted there for quite some time, I'm sure. And do look for me on Twitter. I've been getting more active on Twitter again. If you go to frontierbeyondfear.com, there's a link to the Twitter page. And Baptiste is on Twitter too. I hope that you go over there. He has his own account, and he also has the Power of the Heart has an account too, which I believe is TPOTH. And anyway, it's on their website, thepoweroftheheart.com. You can get to their Facebook page and their Twitter page, and same thing with Frontier Beyond Fear. We're all interacting in such a wonderful synergistic way in this world right now. And, you know, I am truly thankful to my own heart for putting me in a space where I could talk to such a wonderful person, such an inspiring presence as Baptiste, and be connected to all the wonderful people that are sharing just amazing wisdom from the heart. So thank you again, everyone, for being here. And may you go in peace. May you find those spaces of stillness where you too can listen to your own heart. And if you are in one of those pivotal moments like we spoke of, where something just doesn't feel right or you're being pulled to something completely new, find the still spaces. Read Baptist book, where there are many contemplations and exercises to help you, and listen. Your heart will show you the way. Take care, everyone. ¶¶